What an amazing time in the life of the disciples as we come to this particular chapter in the Gospel according to John. Some of you are aware of what has transpired leading up to these particular verses and why Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. And I trust that God's word will speak to all of our hearts today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your sovereignty. And we're once again reminded that nothing takes you by surprise. And Lord, I pray that our faith would grow today, our trust in you. And Lord, even for that one, that two, I don't know how many there might be here today that are not saved. I pray, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit, that you would bring conviction. For that one that might be doubting or might be living in fear even, Lord, that today we would look at you and we would live in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to speak to you on this theme this afternoon for a few moments, living triumphantly in troubling times. Living triumphantly in troubling times. As we read these verses of Scripture in John chapter 14, we kind of maybe can wonder, what is it that God is speaking to his disciples about? Now, John 14, 6 might be a verse of Scripture that we've heard numerous times over. You've heard me quote it numerous times, I can tell you that for sure. About Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And also, though, that we see here that Jesus is meeting with his disciples. Now, he has ministered for about 3 years, almost, at this point. They have seen him do wonderful miracles. They have seen him display his power. But he's not going to be there forever. He did not come the first time to conquer. He came to seek and to save. In fact, he came to die. We have a song in our hymn book called Born to Die. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to pay the penalty for our sin. And we're truly grateful for that. But you can only imagine being one of these men that have walked with him for 3 years and seen him do all that he's done, the power, the wonder. And now he's about to tell them, or he's revealing to them, we're going to look at it in a minute there, that, hey guys, I'm not going to be around forever. You know, and I think a little bit of confusion, maybe a little bit of worry, maybe a little bit of wonder. That's why he says, let not your heart be troubled. And so I'd like to give you three observations from several of these verses this afternoon as we consider different times in our life. And isn't it amazing that, I was telling Brother James, in 1 week's time, just to, in our world that we live in today, how quickly things can change in 1 week. And we can look at many seasons of our life. And I can look back on several in my 46 years where things happen, but it seems like today, because of the availability to news and things that we have today, maybe things are ramped up a little bit. Some of it is a little bit embellished, let's just say that. But some of it, there's truth to it. I'm not saying there's not truth to it. But if we're not careful, we can be sucked into this. As Christians, by the way, our faith is not in the media. Our faith is not in the government of Canada. Our faith is not in the government of the United States of America. Our faith is not in any government. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not a lot changed in his week, He didn't look at it that way. I look at it that way through human eyes. But for the Lord Jesus, for God, he knows what's happening years down the road. So it doesn't work that way for him. And if we keep our eyes on him, we'll be a lot better off in this time of trouble. And maybe not just right now, but we can look back on many times in our life where there were troubling times. And I must say, honestly, this isn't going to be the end of the troubling times. We live in perilous times. The Bible predicted that. So let's not be surprised by it. But here's number one that we see in the first verse. There are fears to escape. There are fears to escape. To understand what brought about these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must look back, and again, we're reminded that there are no chapter divisions in the Bible when it came to the way it was written. There is a purpose for them today, maybe in clarity of reading, but remember that there were no chapter divisions there when it was written. Now, what has happened here leading up to John 14 is this. The disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ have just finished observing the Passover. After which, Jesus takes a towel and washes his disciples' feet. Look, if you will, with me in verse number 21 of the previous chapter. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me.
Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And then he foretells that Peter is going to deny him. And that would be, Peter was the one who was telling John there in verse number 24, Hey, John, that's talking about John. Hey, John, can you find out who it is that's going to betray him? But the point of this is that leading up until this point, the disciples must have thought or must have imagined that Jesus was not there simply to die on the cross. That would be the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus was there to rid them of the tyranny of Rome. And Jesus was there to be a military leader. Jesus was there to conquer. And none of those things is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. And here he's revealing to them, and in previous verses, in verse number 13, he's talking to them saying, I'm not going to be here. Where I'm going, you cannot come. This would have been a very difficult time. Look over at John chapter 16 as this conversation continues. We're not going to look at all these verses, but look at John chapter 16. This is the same conversation that is happening in John chapter 14. John chapter 16, verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. That'd be a great verse to underline. That'd be a great statement to underline what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can try to look for it and try to find it in many other places, but Jesus said, what you find in me is peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. Tribulation. Look, this was thousands of years ago that Jesus Christ, just before he is going to die on the cross, he's getting together his group of men and he's saying, look, you're going to find in me, you're going to find great peace. What you're going to find in the world is tribulation. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And by the way, nothing ever will change until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up his kingdom and so forth. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ giving his disciples comfort from their fears. Fears to overcome. Number one, fears to overcome. Let's go back, if you will, to John chapter 14. We'll be there in just a moment. We can read in the life of Job, and we won't take time to today, but we can read in the life of Job trials and difficulties that came into his life. Job 14, verse 1, and Job 5, verse 7. And Job went through so much in just a matter of moments, and just a matter of hours, and just a matter of a day, and so much happening and so much changing. And yet Job stayed true to what God had for him. Job could have just tossed it in, so to speak. But the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not with his mouth. Fears to escape. Fears to escape. Notice that word, the first word of verse 1 of chapter 14 is the word let. The word let. It's a small word, but here's what it is. The word there is a call for us to be involved in the troublesome times of life. In other words, don't sit down in the troublesome times of life and let your heart be troubled.
In other words, get up in the troublesome times of life and do whatever it is God has for us to do. Carry on with the way God has for us to live. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. Think about that word let. Don't miss that. Don't miss that word let, because what Jesus is saying is, guys, it's about to get really bad. Because I'm going to die. Persecution's going to come. And he's saying, let not. In other words, continue on. Continue to live for me. Continue to do what's right, and let not your heart be troubled. Let's look at a few other verses that we read in our Bible, Philippians chapter number 4. So, in troublesome times, one of the worst things we can do is sit idly by and worry and fret. This is not the time to do that, Jesus says to these men. What I want us to think about is being one of these disciples. I don't want us necessarily to focus on our life today, but yet it'll incorporate into our life. Let's think about these disciples. Let's think about how it must have been for them to hear these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Men, hey. He says, men, don't let your heart be troubled. Troublesome times are coming. Keep your eyes on me. I'm faithful. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. When you're in a situation of stress, when you're in that situation, take it to the Lord. What's he say? But in everything by what? Prayer. He says, let to the disciples. Hey, guys, it's going to get really bad, but let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Fears to escape. In difficult situations, Paul said here to the church of Philippi, in difficult situations, don't be careful for anything. The word care there, right? Don't let the cares of life overrule you. Don't let the cares of life overtake the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. What are we in? What are we involved in? What is coming our way? We don't know what's coming our way, but we know this. God is faithful. We know this. We can intercede. We can go to God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God. The peace of God. So if we're not in that situation, if we're not letting our requests be made known unto God, if in that situation, that challenging time that we're in, if we're not bringing it to God by prayer and supplication, if we're worrying about it, what's going to happen is this. It says that we're not going to have peace. No, there's some prerequisites for the peace of God. One of those prerequisites, it's what we're talking about here, number one, is that there are fears to escape. How do we escape those fears? There's the formula in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Maybe you could jot a little note in your Bible at John 14:1. Go to Philippians 4, 6. Here is the formula for escaping fears. Prayer and supplication. And by the way, with what? Thanksgiving. How easy is that to do? It's not. Dear God, thank you for this troublesome time. Dear God, thank you for this financial difficulty in the company. Dear God, thank you for this cutback in work hours. I needed more hours and I got less hours. Dear God, thank you for this problem. Dear God, thank you for this trial. Thank you. That's what he says to do. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in supplication. Go to God in thanks. And when we follow God's formula for escaping those trials and escaping those fears, God will be faithful. And what does he bring? Peace. Peace every time. Verse number 7. And the peace of God passes all understanding. Have you ever been beyond understanding in your life? Have you ever been beyond, I just don't understand? We've said that before. I don't understand this. Okay, we are a good candidate then for the peace of God. We've all been there. We've all said it. We're going to say it again. And the peace of God passes all. It goes beyond all understanding, shall keep your hearts. You know that word keep there means guard. Do we ever need to guard our hearts today? You know, the enemy uses a lot of tactics. One of the things the enemy uses is discouragement. The enemy uses discouragement, doesn't he? Easy to get discouraged when we're looking at
society, we look at ourselves in the mirror sometimes, we get discouraged. We talked about that in the Sunday school hour, that we're so insufficient at times to be what we're supposed to be, because it's not about us, it's about God working through us. But the devil uses this, the devil uses fear. The devil uses fear. I love what it says here. Shall keep your hearts and minds. So when we are following Philippians 4:6 and the formula for having peace, the peace comes in, and it's not simply that we be peaceful, so that it guards our heart. It keeps our heart. Our heart can wander to all kinds of things that it ought not wander about and think about. And notice what else it says there. And it says that it'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are fears to escape. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Let. Don't miss that little word, let, as he's telling the disciples, let. In other words, you're going through it. I'm not stopping it. This is God's plan of redemption that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3:15. Jesus going to the cross was prophesied in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus is telling his men here, you know what? I am not stopping what God has ordained. You know, many times we ask God, you know, stop this difficulty. Maybe that's not God's will. Stop this trial. Now, I'm not saying don't pray that. Make sure you pray it in the will of God. But God, Jesus says to his disciples, guys, I am not going to stop following God's will. And God's will is the cross. God's will is suffering. Think about it. God's will is persecution. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus and for us today too. God's will is sometimes pain. God's will is a trial or a difficulty. And so Jesus is not telling them, I'm just going to, you know, and he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have, but he died alone for you and me. He fulfilled the will of God. He wasn't telling them, guys, I'm going to take it all and it's going to go away. No, he's just saying, hey, it's coming, but let not. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. 1 Peter 5:7, many of you could quote it from memory. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The best plan of escape from our fears is to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. The best plan of escape is to run to the Word of God. We read this morning in our men's meeting at the office, Psalm 40. And it was just powerful to read verse by verse and think about what God was doing in those verses and what the psalmist was saying in those verses. When we have a fear to escape, run to the Word of God. This is your anchor. This is your rock. This is your shelter. There are fears to escape. Let's go back to John 15. John 14. Not only are there fears to escape, but number two, there is faith to embrace. Troublesome times. Fear to escape. Let not your heart be troubled. Then number two, there is faith to embrace. The word believe in verse number one, believe, is a life-altering word. Acts 16:31, we also find the word believe there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What does the word mean? It means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, believe, to have confidence. Believe. Jesus said, hey men, let not your heart be troubled. You're going through a difficult time. Don't let the difficulty, don't let the troublesome time distract you from me. Believe. Do we have confidence in? Do we have our complete trust in? Are we persuaded of? It literally means this, to exercise faith in someone or something. In this case, we know it's not a thing, it's a someone. Jesus said to the disciples, believe in God, believe also in me. Number one, not two types of faith. Number one, a sustaining faith. I believe that is where we see ye believe in God. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. A sustaining faith. Ye believe. to have confidence in, to be persuaded in, to think to be true. Is God worthy of our confidence? Yes, he is. Is God trustworthy? Yes, he is. Jesus is just saying, hey, believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God. Sustaining faith. And that's, I believe that is the statement, ye believe in God. Look, this kind of faith is the faith that brings us through the deepest of valleys. What is a valley? Okay? I hear on the radio, out in the valley, this is how the weather is. It's not talking about Chilliwack, although it's a good place to go. No. When you read sometimes, or somebody says, and again, I'm not going to just assume that you understand what that means. I want to help you. When somebody says they're in the valley, it means they're in a difficult time. Not everyone here learned English as their first language. Somebody could say, I'm on a mountaintop, and they might think, oh, are you on Grouse or Seymour or Cypress? Okay, not now, I guess. No more skiing for a while. But anyway, when you hear me or maybe someone preaching say that I'm on a mountaintop, they're saying that it's a good time, blessed time. Things are good. God is working. And a lot of times when we say we're in the valley, we're saying that it's a bad time. But by the way, God is the God of the mountain, and God is the God of the valley. Both. It doesn't mean that if you're in a valley, God went to sleep and took a nap. And you're in the valley because God's taking a nap. No, God doesn't take naps. He doesn't need one, okay? He knows when you're in the valley. He allowed you to go in the valley. He's good in the valley. He's good on the mountaintop. But we use those terminologies and we say that even when we're in the valley, we can believe in God. Why? Because those are the it's harder to believe in God. And I don't mean that we think God doesn't exist because we're in the valley, but we don't believe that God is good maybe when we're in the valley. And we don't believe that God is faithful when we've just lost a job. And we don't believe that God is faithful when we just found out we have cancer. And we don't believe that God is faithful when this plan that we had changed or this circumstance changed. No, God is always good. And Jesus says to the disciples, if you have confidence in, if you are persuaded of, if you believe in God, this kind of faith believes that God exists and that God is good. Hebrews chapter 11, you're there by now, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. To please who? To please God, because right up in verse 5, it says that he pleased God. In the context of this, it's impossible to please God except through faith. For he that cometh to God must, what is it? Believe. Same idea. If you believe in God, believe also in me. This is sustaining faith. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When it comes to God, you and I can believe. Let me give you three things we can believe as we keep moving through this text. And this isn't really in the text, but it's when we think about believing as we go back to John 14. Believe in God. Are we persuaded? Are we confident in God? And again, he's talking to men. Again, don't miss the context. For 3 years, it's been all power. It's been miracles. Yes, there's been difficulties, but for 3 years, it's been victory, 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 victory. And now Jesus says, I'm leaving you. But he wasn't really leaving them. He was leaving them in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was going to leave them with the Holy Spirit of God after he left. Praise God. Today, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us as believers. And what a great privilege that is. So, when it comes to God, we can have faith in three things. Number one, his promises. His promises. Sustaining faith. We're talking about sustaining faith. When we have faith in God, trust, you can trust, I can trust his promises. And I won't do this for time's sake, but you ought to know some of the promises of God. You know, if somebody were to come up to you and say, what is a promise of God that's special to you? We ought to be able to just say, here's a promise of God. Here's a promise of God. They're all through the Word of God. They're for every one of us here. And as we believe in God, then we can have faith in the promises of God. Secondly, when we believe in God, we can have faith in the works of God. God is working today. God is working. You know what? I believe God is so long-suffering.
And I believe God is so loving to this world that he allows everything to happen the way that it does to bring people to himself. We can have faith in the works of God. And lastly, we can have faith in the very power or the authority of God. As we believe in God, if we could ever learn to trust God completely without reservation, then we have the very tool we need to take the grip that fear has. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm just tired of reading the news. It's my fault. Nobody to blame but me. Because I don't have to read it or listen to it. You know what happens? The more you read it and listen to it, this grip. It just tightens. What we need to do is we need to get in our Bibles, get a promise of God, look at the power of God, pray, look at the blessings of God, and what happens? The grip comes off. This book right here will take the grip of fear right out of you. Okay? We're not anchored in the church. We're anchored in Jesus. I mean, praise the Lord for a church that stands on the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. But look, that's not where my anchor's hooked up to. Your anchor shouldn't be hooked up to any man. Our anchor is hooked up to the Lord. We are anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ in this book that we have. And that fear can go as we believe in God. It is sustaining faith. It's also saving faith. Believe also in me. Don't miss that. You believe in God. Jesus said this, right? Believe also in me. Now, who is Jesus? He's God's Son. Yeah. God in the Son. God the Son. The Son of God. The God-man. Believe also in me. Look, if all we said is, I believe there's a God. Okay, that's a start, but there's other people that say there's a God. Go to James, please, with me. James, chapter 2. Don't miss this now. Jesus said it specifically to these men, but it helps us over 2,000 years later. You believe in God, that's sustaining faith. Believe also in me, that's saving faith. They are one and the same. I do obviously believe that. But let's just look at this quickly. James chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Okay, so that's a good thing. But notice what the Bible says. The devils also, what? Believe. Believe what? That there's a God. Right? The devils also believe and tremble. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were asking me a question about a certain, what I would label as a cult. And the reason why I would label them as a cult is because they don't believe that Jesus is God, for one thing. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I said, that's obviously a major problem. They may talk about God. A lot of people talk about God. A lot of groups talk about God. The Bible even says a lot of people talk about God, but he even says that there are some people that are devils or demons. They know there's a God. And it even says they fear him. They tremble. The point is, Jesus is saying, hey, believe in God, sustaining faith, but believe also in me, saving faith. And then he says that in John verse number 6 as well, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To be a saved person, we must believe the gospel. Quickly, let's look at the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. To be a saved person, we must believe the gospel.
I've asked people this before. How do you know you're going to heaven? I believe in God. You know what? I got to ask some more questions. There are going to be a lot of people in hell that believed in God. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be a lot of people in hell that believed in God. That's not good enough. I have to ask them more. What do you mean by that? And most of the time, an answer like that, they're not really saved after you ask a few more questions. Because someone that's saved, and again, this is why we want you to go through discipleship. This is why we want you to be in Sunday school. This is why we want all of us to be exposed to the Bible over and over again, repeating and repeating and repeating. Because when someone asks me, I want to be able to tell them the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. How come you're going to heaven, Pastor Ben? How come you know you're going to heaven, Pastor Turner? It's not because I'm a Baptist. No, it's because of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, here it is, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the first part of the gospel. If you're saved today, you must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You cannot be saved unless we believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross. That's part of salvation. But then he said, and that he was buried. That's the second part of the gospel. That he was buried. That he went into that tomb for 3 days and three nights. That he was there. His body was there. He was not there, but his body was there. He paid the penalty. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. That sinless blood that was shed for your sin and for my sin. He died. He was buried for 3 days. But the Bible tells us, number three, and in verse number four, he rose again the third day according to the what? Scriptures. So when somebody asks you, are you going to heaven when you die? The answer is not, yes, I believe in God. I mean, that's a start. But I believe in God. And in God's word, I know the gospel. And I'd like to show you what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Here it is right here. Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. You could take him to John 14. And I'm just saying, we as God's children, we need to be able to take what God has done for us. We believe in God. We believe also in Jesus. We need to be able to tell people that. I think now's a good time to be telling people about the Prince of Peace. That's the Lord Jesus, one of his names. Prince of Peace. So we see fears to escape. Quickly, number two, we said a faith to embrace. And now number three, lastly, we see a future to envision. Look, as God's children, we're living day by day, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. That's a great thought, isn't it? But also, we're looking ahead to what it says right here. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will. I love that, don't you? I will. We learned about an I will in Sunday school when God said to Gideon, surely I will be with thee. Here's another I will. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. So we see in these troublesome times, fears to escape, a faith to embrace, a sustaining faith, a saving faith. And then lastly, we see a future to envision. Letter A, this future to envision includes a precious place. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know what? When I think about that, think about the fact that this world is not my final home. I've lived in several states in the United States. I've lived in one province only here in Canada, but I've lived in Surrey, I've lived in Burnaby, and now I live in Coquitlam. You know what? I may live somewhere else on this earth before it's all said and done, but I know this, nowhere on this earth is my final home. Nowhere on this earth is my final destination. I am so truly thankful to the Lord that this is only a passing through
How many years will it be? No idea. But I know this. In my Father's house are many mansions. It is not my final home. The troubles, the trials, the difficulties, all of it, it's temporary. Think about it. Christ, heaven, street of gold, pearly gate, a place for us, the presence of God, the best part of it all. It's for eternity. It says in the Bible, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. If you're saved today, that's yours. Right now, you have it today. Never perish. It's a precious place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. The Bible says about this thought. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I remember when we went through the book of 1 Peter. I don't have my Bible that I used back then. I had a lot more notes in it. I've got to start adding more notes in. But I remember looking at that word manifold. And it means a variety of. He says, through the heaviness, through manifold or various different kinds. But notice, I think the word that ought to encourage us is that it says, for a season. A season ends. Right? A season comes and a season goes. You know, the leaves are nice on the tree and then they're not on the tree. They come and go. That's exactly with the challenges that come our way. It is not something to focus on. No, the Bible calls us pilgrims and strangers passing through. It's a precious place. Moving on, number two, it's a prepared place. That's what it says. Look at verse number two back in our text. It's a prepared place. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, today, Brother Randall and I were standing out here in the parking lot. We got here a little bit early. We were standing out here, and we were having a little cup of coffee, and we were looking at the beautiful mountains over here. And a little bit of snow over here on the mountains. And, you know, we were commenting about how beautiful it is. Think about this. 6 days God made this world. Seventh day he rested. We read that in Genesis, right? Yet, think of all the wonders of heaven. Whether he's still working on heaven, I don't know. But it says, I go to prepare a place for you. So if God's been working on heaven for all these moments and times, what is heaven going to be like? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be prepared for you and for me, for all God's children. When I think of heaven, I think of verse 3 as well. And Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. It is a prepared place. And then lastly, we see here the future to envision. A powerful promise. I will come again. Turn with me in your Bibles to one more passage of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I will come again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, a powerful promise. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the promise that Jesus made. The disciples are on edge.
He's told them, I'm leaving. Whatever they thought he was there to do ultimately has been taken away in their mind. I'm leaving. Let not your heart be troubled, though, he says. You're going to go through it, but go through it believing in me, believing in God, and believing also in me. And then he gives them this powerful promise. I will come again. God has planned from the foundation of the world when Jesus would come again. When is Jesus going to come again? I'm not sure, but I know this. He will come again. For he said, I will come again. So as we conclude this thought this afternoon, I want to ask you a couple of things. Number one, what is there that is causing you to be fearful? The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. Number two, what is it that you are depending on, or who is it that you are depending on to take you to heaven? Jesus said, believe in God, but believe also in me. And in verse 6, we didn't look at it, but Jesus said, I am the way. If you're depending on anyone or anything else to take you to heaven, Jesus said, not me, Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Search your heart this afternoon. Have you been saved? Have you accepted by faith Jesus Christ? And then lastly, more of a statement. I want to encourage us today not to focus on the things that are only for a season. But I want to encourage us to put our gaze, our sight on what is eternal. What is eternal? Presence of God. What is eternal? Being with Jesus forever. What is eternal? Being with the family of God in heaven forever. Don't let the seasons rob us of the joy that comes in the promises of this book, which are true from cover to cover.